There's a ton of evidence that this UFO thing is real. If they're spiritual beings, which I believe they are, like, it's a binary. They're either, you know, you're on team good or team bad. You can assign any name to it you want, but like, what are these things? And I think some of them are bad. And if the US government knows that, or elements, the people within the US government know that, then, you know, then they're serving a bad force.
As a Christian, when we're talking about alleged alien beings, we're referring to demons. What Carlson is alleging is that our own government has a relationship with demons. If he's even close to being right, that's frightening. Tucker Carlson goes on the Joe Rogan podcast and confirms what we Christians have been saying about aliens and UFOs. He talks about why he concludes that these are spiritual beings from another dimension. He even brings up his theory that the government has a relationship with these beings. And what does Joe Rogan have to say? Well, he finally agreed that the Bible's explanation for what we're seeing in the skies is the best explanation. We're going to get into all of that in just a moment. But first, if you're new to the channel, welcome. My name is Nate Sala, and this is Wise Disciple, where I'm helping you become the effective Christian that you were meant to be. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel, and do me a favor, would you share this video with someone else so that we can get the word out about this ministry? I'd really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out the awesome discounts that we're running through Logos Bible Software. Logos is the Bible app that I use to study the Bible, and it will level up your knowledge of the scripture as well. Go to logos.com/wise disciple and jump into the word today. The link for that is below.
A DOD employee reached out to me and said, actually, there's a ton of evidence that this UFO thing is real. And really? And so I started doing segments on it when I worked at the TV channel. And there was like a lot of mockery, but I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to do this. And then, of course, the second you start, as you know better than anybody, you start talking about something, then people reach out to you and some of them are deranged, but some of them aren't.
Can I press pause and just acknowledge for a split second? Like, just go back 5 to 10 years, which is not a long time by any stretch. Did you ever think that 5 to 10 years ago, we'd be openly discussing UFOs and aliens? And not just in the fringe reaches of the internet, but in prime time? Primetime news organizations headlining with sightings of UFOs and aliens, but in the context of our own government acknowledging that they're real and that many of our own have interacted with them? I never would have thought we'd be here. And yeah, this is exactly what's happening right now.
At all. So I just started getting a lot of information from people and meeting with people, mostly in private. You know, come to my house, let's talk. And I decided on the basis of what they told me, and then I talked to a lot of people about it, that actually this is really a very heavy-duty question, actually. It's not the little green men question. It's like a much bigger question. And it's really bad. It's really dark. And then I stopped. Then I was like, I don't want to know anymore because it's not helping me at all as a person. And
what information?
So Carlson is saying that he didn't exactly go looking for these kinds of topics, but sort of fell into them backwards and started featuring them more and more on his show, which was on Fox News up until recently. And his point is, what was once easily dismissed can no longer be, not by him or by the American public.
What did you get that made you feel like it's dark?
What's so dark? Well, first of all, the deception is always bad. Like, lying is bad in it. And it's bad, not just in a legal sense in that it can be illegal to lie, but it's bad. It's like bad for you. Like, it rots you. Like, being a liar makes you a bad person. When you lie, you are serving evil. There's a moral quality to it that's inescapable and very obvious. And only like advanced civilizations ignore that. Lying is bad. And so if you have lying at scale, which we have on this topic, it's inherently bad. Okay. So that's the first level. The deeper level is so if they're spiritual beings, which I believe they are, like, it's a binary. They're either, you know, you're on team good or team bad. You can assign any name to it you want. But like, what are these things?
Did you hear that? So, you know, I'm not familiar with Carlson, whether or not he's a Christian. To be honest, I never watched his show on Fox either. Not that I had a huge problem with him. I didn't have the time. But he's admitting things we've discussed on this channel in the past, right? Once again, and by the way, if you're new, my contention is that aliens and UFOs are not interstellar travelers. They are interdimensional travelers. And that is not a Christian-only contention. Apparently, many non-Christians have finally caught up to what Christians have been saying for a while now. These entities are coming to us from another dimension. And they're entering into our own with a very sinister theological and spiritual agenda. And I delineated a lot of that in previous videos. But essentially, Christianity has given an explanation for these entities for thousands of years. So good for Carlson for pointing out the obvious. Aliens and UFOs are not what they appear to be.
Are they good or bad? And I think some of them are bad. And if the U.S. government knows that, or elements, the people within the U.S. government know that, then, you know, then they're serving a bad force. And
well, when you say spiritual, like what makes you draw that conclusion that they're spiritual?
What's the obvious? I mean, spiritual may be the wrong word. Supernatural. You know, they're beyond nature as we understand it. I mean, obviously they are. I mean, just chart their physical behavior. It doesn't, you know, it goes outside of what we understand about physics. No visible means of propulsion, you know, coming at indescribable speed, hitting the ocean, continuing at speeds that are impossible undersea. I mean, in other words, if I take a, you know, 9mm round or 7.62x39 and shoot you at 50 yards underwater in a swimming pool, and it's even more intense than salt water because it's denser, you could catch the bullet if it even makes it to you, right? So if you have a craft, any object underwater that's traveling at 500 knots as measured by sonar, right there, you're challenging our understanding of physics. Like, what is that? How can that be?
That's exactly the rationale that other Christians have pointed out. By the way, when we say these things, when we do this activity, we're not opening the Bible and saying, well, it says it right there, so I believe it, and that's all there is to it. That's not what's going on here. This is a careful observation of the particular evidences that are available to all of us now, and an explanation of those evidences. This is from Popular Mechanics. This is an article here. Take a look. In a new draft paper that has yet to be peer-reviewed, Sean Kirkpatrick, director of the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and Harvard University's Avi Loeb stripped away the more philosophical questions about life on other planets and instead focused on the physics of highly maneuverable UAPs specifically. Okay, so we have a Pentagon official here working with an astrophysicist at Harvard, and they're pointing out what Carlson just said. Look at this. While designing physical constraints in order to analyze these UFOs, Kirkpatrick and Loeb determined that the recent UAP observations do defy the laws of physics, stating that, quote, the friction of UAP with the surrounding air or water is expected to generate a bright optical fireball, ionization shell, and tail, implying radio signatures. However, many of the UAPs studied show no signs of these signatures. Now, they go on to posit that perhaps an explanation is that these things are an optical illusion. But the point remains, the reason they have to try to explain these things away like that is because UFOs do not obey the laws of physics. As a matter of fact, if they did, these ships would break apart in the air or in the water. But they don't, implying that they're not truly physical.
So
yep. They've tracked that? They've tracked things going 500 knots under the sea?
Yeah, really. Yeah, much, much faster than any object can actually go under sea. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on underwater. And a lot. And there's video of these things coming out of the sky into the water and also emerging from the water.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's all so blurry, though.
I don't think it's
the transmedium video.
Yeah, I don't think some of it's that blurry. I think some of it's crystal clear.
We just don't have access to it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Just we haven't seen it?
Correct.
So they have some stuff.
For sure. So, but there's just a lot going on underwater, and it's measured. And so, whatever. I mean, these are all, again, this is like the most obvious observable level of it. But then you just ask yourself, like, what is this actually?
Which, by the way, you know, it's always fascinated me to think about what the government is thinking and concluding about all of this. You know? I mean, I can't take it for granted that everyone is philosophically a substance dualist that accepts a spiritual realm and believes the Bible's characterization about that. You know, I would imagine a lot of people in our government are materialists who reject not only the existence of God, but also of a spiritual realm to begin with. So what are they thinking? You know, this is maybe just new tech that is as of yet explained. Like, some of you are probably like way more up on all of this than I am. Do you know? I am curious. Like, help me out. What are government officials concluding about these things that they can no longer deny, by the way? Let me know in the comments. I'm curious about all that.
And, you know, if there's been extensive knowledge of this for decades, like maybe 80 years at least, if not going back to the 30s, 90 years, you know, to what end? So there are two possible explanations, obvious explanations. The first is the one you often hear, which is this is so heavy that if the public were to know about it, it would be just disruptive. It'd be right. Too scary. Like, you don't want to scare people for no good reason. There's nothing we can do about it. And you also don't want to suggest that, you know, the U.S. military isn't capable of protecting the country, the homeland. And it does suggest that. If you can't control these objects in your airspace, and that's known, they can't, that's known, okay, then that suggests a limit to the power of the U.S. military, and you don't want to tell people that because then they, like, won't believe that they're safe. I get it. But then there's a deeper level, which is like, okay, what's your relationship with these things? What is the U.S. government's relationship with these things? And there's evidence that there is a relationship and that it's a longstanding. And that raises, like, a lot of questions about intent. And so, like, what is that? And I just personally decided, you know, and people have been hurt by these things. You know,
have you heard Michael Heiser's take on all of this? Heiser is the author of The Unseen Realm. He was engaged on this issue of UFOs and alleged alien abductions. He recently passed away, but he was a Christian and a Bible scholar and also a PhD who apparently could get his hands on government documents, probably through freedom of information. But by the way, back when this whole issue was not front and center for the American public, okay, you know, going back when UFO and alien abduction cases were very fringe and taboo to discuss, Heiser pointed out that this started with smuggling Nazis into America and getting them to invent technology for us secretly. If you think about, like, the first major story that broke back in Roswell in the 1940s, right? Heiser points out that it has been documented that this alleged alien crash was part of what's called Project Blue Book, and that the sightings of these early spaceships resembled what Hitler was working on during World War II. Hitler and the Nazis were working on their own secret aircraft that looked like the earliest sightings of what we thought were UFOs in our own skies. I've linked to this video before. I'll do it again. But there's, like, a fascinating documentary out there. As of this recording, it's still available on YouTube. You should take a look at it and see more of what I'm referring to here. But Carlson is talking about a long-term relationship with these alleged alien beings. Again, as a Christian, when we're talking about alleged alien beings, we're referring to demons, what the Bible calls demons. So what Carlson is alleging is that our own government has a relationship with demons right now in 2024. I've not seen anything like this, okay, in terms of evidence. Maybe Carlson or someone else has proof of this, but if he's even close to being right, that's frightening.
That's a fact. That's a fact. It's a knowable fact. It's a provable fact. And killed. And I'm not saying millions of people have been killed by whatever these things are, but people have been killed, and it's known because it's working its way through the courts out of the VA. So I don't know. An object that is by definition supernatural, it's above the laws of nature as we understand them, and that has resulted in the deaths of people. We don't spend enough time thinking about, like, what that adds up to. Like, not good, actually, not good.
How many people do you think have died from these things?
I don't know, but I mean, I...
And is it radiation sickness? Is it, like, what is...
So the person that I talked to, I interviewed someone who was a Stanford Medical School professor who's out there and worth talking to, by the way.
Talking about Gary Nolan?
That's exactly who I'm talking about. He was effectively an expert witness in these cases, so he's an expert in brain injury. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Entirely credible person. Checks all the boxes that I care about. He's got patents, so he's like a lot of Stanford University professors. He's like independently rich. I mean, I live in a remote place, and he flew to my place at his own expense because he wanted to tell the story. So he's got no profit motive here. He's the most highly credentialed person at the university, practically, Stanford Medical School. We consider that a big deal. And he's worked on this for, you know, over 10 years, assessing the injuries to U.S. servicemen from being in close proximity to these objects or having contact with these objects. And his conclusion, as you know, because you've talked to him, is that there's some kind of energy coming off here that scrambles people's brains or kills them. And
what? That's absolutely insane. Hey, real quick, I hope this video is blessing you. Would you do me a favor and like and subscribe to the channel? It really does help me to get this video out to more and more people. I really do appreciate it. This is from the New York Post. Stanford professor Gary Nolan says aliens are 100% living among us. A Stanford University professor and prominent ufologist says he 100% believes extraterrestrials have not only visited Earth, but have been here a long time and may even still be on the planet today. Dr. Gary Nolan, a professor of pathology at Stanford's medical school, made the stunning claim during last week's Salt Eye Connections conference in Manhattan at a session titled The Pentagon, Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and Crashed UFOs. Moderator Alex Klokas asked Nolan if he believes extraterrestrial life has visited Earth, and the professor replied, "I think you can go a step further. It hasn't just visited, it's been here a long time, and it's still here." You know, people talk about the wow signal looking for extraterrestrial intelligence. The wow signal is that people see it on an almost regular basis. That's the communication that's already here. Cloku noted that for many, Nolan's statement about alien life would be tough to believe and asked him to assign a probability to his claims. 100%, Nolan said. And that's not just my opinion. The National Defense Authorization Act passed last year, signed by President Biden in December. 30 pages of that is the establishment of an unidentified aerial phenomena office. It's happening so much, they created an office just to investigate these sightings. Yeah. I mean, what you're seeing and hearing, friends, right now, is filtered through the interpretive lens of different worldviews. I hope you can appreciate that, you know? I don't think anybody challenges that something is happening all around us. The evidence, I mean, it's not just testimonial. It's caught on video and other tracking devices. That's indisputable. But what we're seeing is varying interpretations of the evidence, right? That's Carlson. That's Rogan. That's a lot of us talking about this thing, whatever this is. And that makes sense because obviously, those who would reject the supernatural realm and those who accept that it's real are looking at the evidence. They're looking at the same things. And many of them both agree that these entities are coming from another dimension, by the way. So that's fascinating enough that we can come to this aligned point of agreement. So they say, you know, they're saying it's highly unlikely, if not impossible, that these are interstellar travelers. And again, I gave rationale for that in a previous video, so you should take a look at it. But here's something else a lot of us with different worldviews apparently agree on. These entities have been here for a very long time. You want to know how long? Take a look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, what's fascinating about this story is what's not happening in this story. Adam and Eve are not flipping out that a serpent is actually talking to them, right? They're not seeking to understand how that is even possible. They're just going along with it. They're having a conversation. Why? Again, Michael Heiser points this out in The Unseen Realm. The Hebrew word for serpent, okay, actually has wiggle room in the way that the consonants are arranged to contain what he thinks is a triple entendre of meaning. So in other words, it's not just a serpent or a beast that is talking to Eve. It's not what's being communicated merely in this story. The word for serpent, when understood as a verb, refers to someone who is communicating on behalf of the supernatural realm. And that's exactly, isn't it, what we see playing out right here in the story? The serpent is claiming to explain what God meant when he spoke, right? So you want to talk about how long these entities have been here? I mean, they've been here since the Garden of Eden, ladies and gentlemen, and they've been leading men and women astray and down a path towards their own spiritual harm for thousands of years.
And it's not exactly radiation, at least in his telling to me. So anyway, but the point is, people have died.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it does raise a lot of questions about, like, what the hell, right? What
yeah.
the hell? American citizens have died and you're hiding it? Why are you hiding that? Why would you hide that?
Perhaps because they don't have any explanations. Because it's so beyond our comprehension that they're still trying to piece it together. Like, I would wonder how much interaction they really do have with these things. Like, if I was from another planet or if I was some interdimensional being, I don't know how much I'd give a shit about the president. I don't know how much I'd give a shit about the government. I would probably look at this infantile race, this species, this bizarre territorial apes with thermonuclear weapons, this very weird species. I'd probably look at them as very chaotic. And I wouldn't really have much concern for who's running it, especially if they have the ability to travel at insane speeds and go undetected. And
well, it depends. Like that.
Okay. Rogan raises an interesting question, right? What motivates these entities to do the things they do? If both categories, as in both UFO sightings and alleged alien abductions, are aspects of the same phenomena, what motivates these entities to do these things? Again, Christians have an answer to this question. But what is the materialist's answer?
Okay, so the template that you're using to understand this is like science fiction, right? These are an advanced race of beings from somewhere else. But the template that every other society before us has used is a spiritual one. Mm-hmm. There is a whole world that we can't see that acts on people, a supernatural world that's acting on us all the time for good and bad. Every society has thought this before ours. In fact, every society in all recorded history has thought that until, I'll be specific, August 1945, when we dropped the atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and all of a sudden the West is just officially secular. We're God. There is no God but us. And that's the world that we have grown up in, but that's an anomaly. Like, no one else has ever thought that. There's never been a society that thought that. Every other society has assumed, and they've had all kinds of different explanations, and the details differ, but the core idea does not differ, never has differed from caves until now, that we're being acted on by spiritual forces at all times. And so to someone born before or living before 1945, I think it would have been much more obvious that this is the thing that every society has written about. Mm. And in fact, that battle, that unseen battle around us, that spiritual battle, has like been the basis of every society, of every religion, not just Christianity. So like it just, once you discard your very, very recent assumptions, relatively speaking, about how the world works, you're like, well, that kind of seems like the obvious explanation, right?
What a fascinating answer from Carlson. And this should connect to Rogan, right? Because Rogan has had on, I don't know how many people now, who have said essentially the same thing to him in various ways, you know, using different descriptors. Rogan has been confronted and wrestled with the biblical description of what's been going on around us for thousands of years. And here it is again. How does Rogan respond to Carlson's take on UFOs and alien abductions, which is very friendly to the biblical take? You know, Carlson arguably could have narrowed that down and been much more specific to the Christian one. But again, I don't know. I don't even know if he's Christian or not. Somebody knows. How does Rogan respond? Watch this.
It's not that obvious to me.
So what's more obvious, do you think?
Well, I don't think there's an obvious explanation. I think if I had to guess, some of this stuff is ours. And some of these things are propulsion systems that they theorized way back in the 1950s, anti-gravity propulsion systems, things that can operate without igniting fuel and pushing something out, that they operate in some completely different way that utilizes gravity and almost can instantaneously transport to new places, essentially fold space-time. I don't know. So there's things that the government does where they have these programs. And the people that are sworn into these programs, whether they're the physicists or, you know, the metallurgists or whoever these people are that are working on these programs, they don't tell anybody. All their phones are monitored. Everything's monitored. There's a culture of secretism that's pretty intense.
This is totally right. And by the way, I grew up in Las Vegas. I went out to Area 51 on a couple of occasions. And like an idiot, I went past the sign threatening to shoot me if I went any further. I wanted to see something out there, but I ended up getting turned away by military police. That's a whole story. I had a friend who worked out at Groom Lake, and I used to ask him all the time when I'd see him, dude, what do you do out there? You know, can you tell me anything? And he would not say a word. They can't talk about it. The people who work out there, as far as I understand, you drive to a certain location and they fly you out in a small plane to Groom Lake. They can't say anything about the nature of the work they do. So Rogan is right about this.
And it's not inconceivable that over the course of the last 70 plus years of them theorizing and then eventually implementing some of these things, that they've developed drones that can move in ways that the people that understand conventional propulsion systems could not imagine. And that they figured out a way to do this and to keep it secret. And we're probably not the only ones working on these things. But where did they get that information? And, you know, Diana Pasolka, you know her work. Yep. Like, they describe these crafts, these crash crafts, as donations, which is fascinating. Like that they're left there. The crashed UAP retrieval program is essentially, they're going like, figure this out. We're going to crash this thing here. You figure this out. And the question is, if that's true, okay, where are these things coming from? Are they, if there's something that is so advanced that it's decided to leave us a little trinket for us to back engineer, is that from another dimension? Is that from here? Is that from some realm that we just don't have access to? Is it from another planet? We have drones that are on other planets right now. We have a drone on Mars. We have, you know, the lunar rovers. We have satellites that we send to observe and photograph other planets. We just got really high detailed photographs of Jupiter. They're pretty amazing. But if something was like us on another planet but lived uninterrupted with technology advancing for 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years more than us, what would that be like? And how much would we be able to understand of what we're seeing? What would we be able to see? And this idea that we monitor our skies, sure, but if something just appears and disappears essentially instantaneously, if something literally can fold time, can fold space and just traverse between immense distances almost instantaneously, what are we going to see? What are we going to see? And also, like, what kind of detection systems do we have? We have radar, we have visual, we have a bunch of different military-based detection systems to look out for, enemy crafts and airships and all that stuff. But if you're dealing with something that's 1,000,000 years more advanced than us, how much would we be able to detect?
Well, so I think we're pointing, and there's the alternate interpretation based on a completely different worldview than the Christian, right? Well, maybe they're millions of years advanced. Maybe they're bending time and space and traveling here instantaneously, right? Maybe we're seeing advanced craft that our own government has created but will not admit, okay? Sure, maybe all of those things are true. You want to know how to differentiate between all of these competing interpretations? Go back to the evidence and then seek to find the best explanation for the evidence. And oh, by the way, examine what you're willing to bring to the table when you begin with your assessment in the first place. Because if you begin with the presupposition that there's no such thing as a supernatural realm, then your conclusion will necessarily be shaped by how you begin. A lot of us get tripped up, you know, in the what can be empirically verified when it comes to the topic of the supernatural. And we don't realize that beginning with the idea that there is no such thing as the supernatural is not actually derived from empirical study. It's one of the things that you front load into your assessment of the world around you. And again, that's why someone like Tucker Carlson, you know, or myself, we can point all of these things out and then we can ask someone like Joe Rogan what he thinks. And then he just says, well, I don't know if it's that obvious. I don't know. He doesn't know if he can go there in terms of an explanation. Okay, fair enough. But it's a fascinating discussion, and I encourage you to watch the whole video. They also in the conversation, they get into whether or not Alex Jones is a prophet akin to the Bible, for real. Okay, so they talk about a lot. It's a great conversation. Check out the full discussion there. The link is below. All right, now it's your turn. What do you think? Are UFOs merely the product of our own government's secret technology, or is something much more sinister and biblical going on? Let me know in the comments below. As always, if you made it this far, you got to join the Patreon community. Even just to read the Bible with me, we're doing a study over there, and that's free. So you can jump over to that. If you choose to support me financially, which is how I continue to make these videos, you'll also get exclusive access to videos like this before they make it to YouTube, and you can join me for exclusive live streams and ask me anything you want. The link for the Patreon is below. Hey, I'm going to return soon with more videos, but in the meantime, I'll say bye for now.